and welcome to another episode of the Slongcast. This is episode 15 for September 28th, 2010. I am your host, Kevin Slonka, and we have a full house for you this evening. With me, as always, is Ryan Lancey.
Number three.
He's number three on the mixer. He's microphone three. And a newcomer this week, Mr. Adam Altimus.
Hey, how's it going?
So, that is an awesome last name.
Really?
I didn't know that until now. Altimus?
Altimus Prime.
Yeah,
right?
You sound like you should be like a Transformer.
Yeah, exactly.
I like this guy a lot more already.
Say something Transformery.
As long as power flows through my Circus Megatron, I will fight you.
Yes!
Oh, that's awesome.
This is great! So what do you do, Adam? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a software engineer at Synexis Inc. in Monroeville.
Cool. So what type of languages do you write with?
C++, ASP.
Nice. Thank you.
Calm.
I was afraid you were going to say like Java.
Nah, that was my previous.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, for it's those, better, of you, it's better than Java.
It is better than Java. I had a professor in my master's degree who called it Java.
Yeah,
it was funny to say the least because he was funny. Okay, so let's jump right into the stories. We got a bunch of good stories this week. The first one, it's kind of old. It's maybe a week or so old, but it's still interesting to talk about. So we've had MySpace, we've had Facebook. For businesses, we had LinkedIn. Now, Google is talking about coming out with their own social network, and they're going to call it Google Me. So, before I say anything about this, I want to hear what you guys have to think. Do you think it's okay that Google, the company who knows everything about us and has all of our information, is going to come out with a social network?
I really think that this is not going to be about a social network. Like, everyone says it's going to be a social network. I think it's going to be social.
So you don't think it's going to be a replacement for Facebook?
No, I don't. I think this is my prediction. I think that what Google's going to do is they're going to allow a person to define what comes up when you search on that particular name. So when you search on Kevin Slonka, if you can register, and anytime that search term comes up, it's going to be like, oh, did you mean Kevin Slonka? And then here's the stuff about Kevin Slonka.
So kind of what they do now with like AdWords and stuff where you register certain things and they pop up at the top.
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that.
Or maybe it's just totally it's sort of like a way to like allow privacy. So now you can't find things about me unless I say it's okay.
What happens when that becomes pay though?
Well, that would
when
suck.
You have to pay for find this about me or don't find this about me.
Well, then Bing goes to number one in the search results.
Please no. Please no Bing. I hate Bing. Wow, I don't know where this hum is coming from. This is ridiculous. Okay, it's there. I'll take care of it later. You guys, whenever you're listening to this, you will not hear that hum because it will be gone in post. Does anybody have a CD in the drive?
Yeah, it's me. Sorry.
It's always you. Last week last time did the same thing. All right. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I should be afraid because as of right now, Google has really done no evil. You know, they've stuck to their motto, but they have the ability to because they literally know everything about us. They have all of our information. If you use Gmail or Google Docs or anything, they have everything. If you use Google Checkout, they have your credit cards. I mean, this could be a good thing that a company like that makes an awesome social network, and I hope they do. I hope they make something that is awesomer than Facebook, but it could be a bad thing if somebody's able to hack that social network and get my credit card information.
I don't think it's going to be like that, though. I really think it's just going to be a way for, you know, basically you define your name, you define your, like, that when somebody searches for Kevin Slonka, like those two words together, like it's the first hit and you define what's shown.
Right. It'll be my webpage that comes up first instead of Facebook.
Right. That is my guess because everything Google has offered, with the exception of like Picasa, well, it's kind of even like this way too. But the point is, everything they've offered, it goes through the web, like their website, like through the search box. That's how they.
That's true. That's what they do.
Yeah,
that's,
Android's a little bit of an offshoot, but that's not on the desktop.
So. Right. So, Adam, do you think this would be okay if they did make a social network? And what would you want to see if they were to come out and try to beat Facebook? What would make you leave Facebook for Google Me?
Well, I think my biggest question about this is why. Why is it even?
Why are they doing it?
Yeah, why is it even necessary? I love Google, and I give a lot of kudos to them for some of the things they're doing. But this move I quite don't understand because as it is now, there are so many social network sites that I don't see I mean, I understand trying to leverage your 500 million users, but I don't know that this is the best way to go about doing it.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I think in what was the other? Google Wave. I just think it's something that they can do just because they have money, you know?
Well, don't they own another social network called like Orkut or something?
Orkut. It's very big in Brazil.
Is it really?
It's the one that Brazilians use.
You know what else is big in Brazil?
Carnivals?
Ethanol made from cane sugar.
Okay. Good tidbit. If you're collecting tidbits.
Volleyball.
Oh, volleyball. Football.
Football. What's that one with the Pele? Isn't that? Or not Pele.
Handball?
High lie. No, that's India.
The thing with like the big hand gloves or whatever?
Yeah, and the ball that moves like 100 miles an hour.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but that's scary.
And it's high lie. But that's not, it's not Brazil. I was wrong.
Okay, so just scratch all of that conversation.
Yep, every part.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you, Adam. Why? But I kind of think this is like a Google Wave thing. Like, we have money. We have people. Why not do it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good that can come from that. Look at you know, the success they have with Chrome and Android, and everyone said the same thing when they started those as well.
Right. So. Yeah, who needs another browser?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turns out I'm using it right now.
Ah.
Me too.
Ah, I'm the only
one. HTML5. Have you tried Chrome Experiments yet?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, they won't work on your Mac browser, but...
Shut up.
They won't. Just saying.
So what is it, for those of us who don't know?
Well, there's this web page called chromeexperiments.com, and there's a particular like band that released a video on there. It's like, I can't remember the name of the band right now.
So a music video.
But it's a music video, and it's experienced through HTML5.
Oh, I've seen other things. I've seen people take movies and convert them into whatever HTML5 uses and... you know, display it instead of Flash.
Yeah. Well, this is like crazy because you can like, you put in your address and it goes and gets the Google Maps and Google like Street View data, and it generates a movie with that data and the other animation that they've already pre-generated, and then like makes this song sort of like play into like your life and like where you came from and stuff.
So it shows you your house in the movie?
It can if there's Google Maps and Google Street View data, but there's not, none of that doesn't exist for everybody.
Wow, that exists for me. That'd be kind of creepy.
Well, it's really cool, and it doesn't work in a Mac browser.
Why not?
I don't know. You can ask Steve Jobs that, but we'll get to later what happens when you ask Steve Jobs things.
What makes it not? I don't understand. Cause
I don't know. It's
Firefox
not,
supports
100% HTML compliant, I guess.
It probably is. Are you talking like just Safari or?
Oh, no, no.
Because it has nothing to do with the platform.
Safari. Yeah,
okay,
Safari.
So just Safari.
Yeah.
I wish I could use Safari. I wish.
Oh, you don't use Safari?
No, I use Firefox on everything.
Oh, well, that's not HTML5 compliant either.
Yes, it is. It's enough of it.
4 is.
Psh, whatever. But yeah, I wish I could use Safari 5 because Safari 5 is the only browser that passes ACID 3 100%. But it doesn't have extensions like Firefox does. So I don't have Adblock. I mean, it has extensions. They just added it in the newest version, but there aren't enough of them out there to make me switch from Firefox. So I can't get a good ad blocker. I can't get a good delicious bookmarker. I can't get a good web developer toolbar. So, I mean, I want to use Safari, but I can't.
Dude, Chrome totally passes the ACID test.
Nice.
Yeah.
100 out of 100.
Is that just like a static picture that you brought up?
No. I went to the ACID.
Is that the reference picture?
I just hit it. I can hit it again if you want.
No, that's cool, though, because the last time I looked, Chrome did not. It was like in the 90s somewhere.
Yeah. No, Firefox is in the 90s.
Yeah, Firefox does not do it. Yeah. Firefox 4 might, but I don't have it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's get away from Google.
Now, let's argue more about HTML5 browsers.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
I would love to talk more about HTML5, and I would love to talk more about Flash going away.
Yes.
That would make my day.
Oh, no.
Yes. Death to Flash.
Yes, thank you.
Adobe is such a horrible company.
Oh, they really are. Mm. Everything they put out is horrible.
It's buggy and overpriced and just...
And 90 megabytes for Adobe Acrobat to read PDF files? Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I will give him credit. It only took about 7 years to get it to open as fast as other
that's true.
Later versions.
Wait a minute. Acrobat doesn't cost $90. It's free.
No. 90 megabytes. Did I say dollars?
Oh, yeah. I thought you said dollars.
Oh, well, I meant megabytes, like install size.
Oh, okay.
I could download Foxit Reader for 2 megabytes or Adobe, which will update itself every other day at a 90 megabyte download.
Forcing a reboot. Too.
Forcing a reboot.
Mm.
Okay, so screw Adobe. Okay, moving on. So next article, this one we've kind of known for a while. AMD bought ATI. So we know that happened because
no.
of you. I know, right? It's new. It's very new news. So if you ever had an ATI video card, you went to get drivers, you were probably wondering why you typed in ATI.com and you got an AMD logo on your page. But now, AMD is like, you know what? We've had ATI for, what, 2 years now? We're done. ATI goes away. The products are still there. The name goes away. Good move, bad move. What do you guys think?
Good move.
Good move? Get rid of the brand?
Definitely good move. I come from a highly populated gaming community, many of them, and AMD has always been more popular than ATI.
Interesting.
Especially when ATI was about to go under a few years back, right before AMD bought them. So they were just sort of falling off the map as all NVIDIA, AMD, and Intel. And now AMD becomes that much stronger because the ATI cards have picked back up.
Right. So what do you guys think for the people out there who aren't the hardcore gamers and they're like, wow, where did my ATI video card go? You know, the normal people who just want to get a better video card for their system, they're like, oh, there's no more ATI. I guess I got to buy NVIDIA now. Do you think it's going to hurt a bottom line anywhere?
I don't know. I really don't think that many people buy video cards based on, like, we're talking like 2% of the market that makes their decision based on that name brand on the video card.
Yeah, and I think what you just said, you know, irregardless. Wow. So regardless of the decision to buy something, I think you were right whenever you said that most people don't buy video cards. You know, most people, they buy a laptop or a desktop. It comes with what it comes with. And, you know, very few people actually buy a new video card to put in their computer.
Yeah, it's very rare.
I mean,
in terms of the whole computer market.
Right, right. I mean, I did with mine, but only because I installed Linux on it, and the drivers for the NVIDIA card that I had were horrible, so I bought an ATI card because the drivers were better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm a Linux user. I am 0.0001 of the market.
Well, I really think, too, that I sound like Sarah Palin. I think in the future that the name brand is going to matter even less because we're moving towards more integrated devices that don't even have replaceable video cards, and the user's not able to select. So it's like whatever, like Hewlett-Packard or Apple or Dell.
Or like my MacBook that you can't even open.
Right, yeah, some of them, yeah, exactly. So you can't open your MacBook at all?
No.
How do you get the motherboard out?
You don't. You take it somewhere and they do it.
Yeah.
Is there a way to get it out?
Yeah. Apple people know how to get it out, but there's no screws, like there's nothing.
I'd bust that shit open.
I could take the battery out to replace the battery, which is a plus. You used to not be able to do that with certain models of MacBooks, but you can't replace anything. It's unibody.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know.
So, well, anyway, I just think that this name brand is going to be less and less important, you know, as we move towards these more integrated devices. So, like, maybe this is a good move on AMD's part. It's like, because really what they need to sell is the chip. Like, what chip is in this, Intel or AMD? Because that's really all they have left.
Right, so you know, really the GPU is all people care about. They don't care about what brand carries it? Is that
what you
mean?
Well, no, I mean that, like, AMD's probably going, I think they're going to maybe move towards this, like, unified, like, hey, this is an AMD machine. Like,
oh, because everything's AMD.
Yeah, because you can't change the video card anyways. And we're seeing, like, these more tightly integrated graphics and, like, North Bridges on motherboards anyways. And, you know, and even to the point where I think we have a couple CPUs with GPUs on board now, right?
Yeah, they're combining them now.
Yeah, you know, so I think, honestly, AMD's next big competitor is going to be, in the graphics world, is going to be Intel, not NVIDIA. NVIDIA is kind of like the, like, I don't know.
They're kind of like the lone wolf. They're the only ones doing just video now.
I look for either Intel to either buy NVIDIA or for NVIDIA basically just, like, dry up because, like, you know, like Matrox or somebody. Because there's no room in the market for it anymore. This stuff's too integrated.
Well, there's always going to be a subset of users, though, that want control over their hardware. I mean, it's a small percentage, but they are a big spending percentage. There's always going to be guys that want $700 video cards.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that won't be around. But in terms of, like, you know, 99% of the market, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess it would be interesting to look at the sales figures to see if that 1% spends enough money on those super high-end video cards to even come close to the 99% that just get what they get.
Right. I think it's kind of a good analogy might be like the Chevy-Ford argument. I think there are people that are diehard Ford guys and diehard Chevy guys, and they'll like fight to the bitter end that their car is better. But in the real world, most people don't have a – I don't think they really have a lot of brand loyalty. They buy what fits in their budget, what looks – what appeals to them visually.
What commercials they see on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
What's marketed best.
Yeah. So, Ryan, you brought up a good point earlier. I wanted to hear what Adam thought about this, since you game about combining the GPUs and the CPUs, you know, having onboard graphics. Previous, you know, in previous years, that was something you just did not do if you played video games.
I actually think this is a step in the right direction. I mean, people have been pushing off processing power to the GPU for a while now, and I'm actually surprised, like I was telling you earlier, that it has actually taken this long for them to take this step.
So you think that having onboard video is not going to be as crappy as it was, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago?
Well, there are some issues they're going to have to clear up with memory and you know, different things. But I do believe being able to take advantage of the GPU as well as the CPU will allow things like programmers to take advantage of more processing that they don't have to, you know, that they can offload.
Right. So you think it's going to be easier for programmers now to access the GPU, which is known to be way faster than the CPU.
Yes, yes. Now, I think good programmers will take advantage of that, and you're going to see, a lot of progress in that area.
Yeah, there's, if you follow on any security stories, there's been a couple, I don't want to say a bunch, but a couple people using GPUs to, like, decode things, you know, break encryption, just because of how ridiculously fast it is.
Well, yeah, they're good at certain kinds of problems.
Yeah, certain types of math, they rock.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. Ryan, I do believe this next story is yours.
Yeah, this is, I saw this a couple of weeks ago. It's a little old, but look, there's an exchange that went on between Steve Jobs and a college student who had emailed, I guess their support. She first emailed the support line.
I thought it was their public relations.
Their public relations. Yeah. And she was having some kind of issue with she wanted to find out some information about the company and that sort of thing. And the reply she got was from Steve Jobs, and it was kind of a curt reply. And she emailed back, and he sent yet another curt reply.
Yeah. Let me read one of those curt replies real quick.
Sure.
So basically, this girl sent an email and said, you know, I'm writing a paper for my journalism class. In order to get an A, I just need a specific quote. I need you guys to tell me something that I'm pretty sure I already know. I just need to hear it from you so I can quote you. Steve Jobs replies back, one-liner, our goals do not include helping you get a good grade. Sorry.
Well,
seriously?
I think that's a little blown out of proportion. I don't think she said that I need you to reply to get an A. I think what she was saying is that I'm looking for information so that I can, you know, that I can support the claims that I've made.
Well, yeah, she said her exact quote was essential to my academic performance.
Yeah. So. I mean, and you know, to not reply, because her original question was a very simple one.
It wasn't like any confidential information or anything. It was just, I need some information from you. Can you please tell me?
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what you think about her assumptions on, you know, whether or not they should have replied, why not just give her the dang information?
And why would Steve reply to a PR email?
Yeah.
Well, she eventually emailed him.
Oh, did she? She emailed PR first.
Yeah, she emailed PR, got no response, and then emailed him.
Okay.
And that, you know, he routinely, you know, looks at sjobs@apple.com
right.
for emails and replies back to some. This happened to be one he chose.
Yeah, and this one was interesting because normally it's just like a one-off. He sends an email. It's done. Yeah. This one he sent, what, 3 or 4 replies?
Yeah. Well, they referenced, she says she wanted to get a quote from Apple about the use of iPads in academic settings. So I'm not sure what the term quote means there, if it means a quote, like a snippet or a, you know, or if it was a price quote.
No, I think she just wanted somebody from Apple to say this is the figure, rather than her just kind of looking at sales figures herself and making up a number. Like, she wanted to hear it from Apple.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't purchase 1,000 iPads from anyone else but Apple. Like, most retailers aren't going to fulfill an order like that.
Where are you going with this? I'm not sure.
If you want information about how much it's going to cost, Apple's...
No, not how much it's going to cost. How many people use iPads in an academic setting? She wanted to hear from Apple how many people are buying iPads for school.
Isn't this something she could have found on her own, though?
But
that would be my question.
This is the thing. It's an initiative. Yeah. I'm not sure. This article is not real clear because it says her journalism professor had assigned her a story on a new initiative at her college. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. But yeah, could she have? If she, let's just pretend right now that she is looking for just Apple to say, yes, we find that 20% of all iPad sales are for college students.
Yeah.
You know, let's say that's all she wanted. Could she have found that out on her own?
Probably not.
Does Apple release those numbers?
I don't know. And even if they do, like, if they don't, the source would be suspect. If they do, then...
Yeah, they might release... I mean, I'm pretty sure they release sales numbers. They're a public company. They have to do that. But they probably don't split it up and say, yeah, we see that this person is between 18 and 22, so we assume they're in college. You know, that might have been something she needed to go to Apple for.
Yeah, and I think,
guess depending on the specifics of it.
Right.
Her response, I think, to his initial, our goals do not, you know, whatever, get you a good grade. She said, I never said that your goal should be to get me a good grade. Rather, I politely asked why your media relations team does not respond to emails. She did send them 6 emails and they never replied.
6?
Yeah.
6. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's just like, just answer her dang question.
Right. Just say 20%.
Yeah.
That's all they had to say.
Like, or just say, sorry, we don't release those figures. They never replied. That's the thing. Like, so to me, this just seems like they're being their, like, you know.
Right. Yes. So
it seems sort of like they made some assumptions about her before knowing the whole story. And that seemed to weigh into their replies a little bit.
Yeah.
It really seems that way based on every reply that Steve sends back to her.
You know what it seems like to me?
What?
It seems like your Apple MacBook over there sucks. That's what it seems like to me.
No, but it works well. So we all know that sometimes Steve sends back emails that are, they seem kind of mean, or they seem like something that a CEO should not say to other people through email.
So by seems like mean, you mean is mean.
Yes, is mean and should not say. But I think this one takes the cake, where his very last response after this girl replies back, because Steve says, you know, we only help out people who use our products who have a problem. And she said, I do use your products and I do have a problem. His response, please leave us alone.
Yeah, that's pretty crappy.
Really?
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I've seen some of the other things that Steve has sent to other people, and yeah, they seem kind of mean. Maybe you shouldn't have said it, but this one, really?
Hey, and hey, I'm not saying other companies don't do this.
Yeah, they might. They just don't get the attention.
Right. And the thing, that's the whole. This is the whole point where it's like, make the customer happy. Make them
give
happy.
Them the pickle.
Yeah, the pickle?
It was an internal training video at my last job. Okay, I'll tell you a little story real quick, just so you're not thinking I'm crazy. So we had this video on customer service, and the video was about this older guy who owned a restaurant. Somebody came into his restaurant, and they ordered a sandwich. The sandwich comes with a pickle. And the lady said, can I have an extra pickle? The server would not give it to her, argued with her, would not do it. She ended up, you know, leaving, not getting an extra pickle, being mad, writing a nasty letter to the owner, because it was a small-town restaurant, so everybody knew the owner. And that guy decided, you know, I need to make, you know, something to show people how to treat customers, because we should have given her the pickle. Come on, it costs us a cent.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, yeah, whenever we say, you know, be nice to your customers, give them the pickle.
Yep.
That's kind of an inside joke, but.
Give them the pickle.
Give them the pickle. All right, moving on. So this next article is, I'm going to say kind of suspect, just because everything Bloomberg does is kind of suspect. Every article that we've ever covered has been like, really? Like, yeah. you publish that?
Yeah, like iPhone on Verizon.
Right.
Next month, we swear.
And they publish that every year.
Yeah.
So this article, Blockbuster chief says he will evaluate every single store. So Blockbuster filed for Chapter 11. So they are bankrupt. They want to, you know, figure out how to make their company, you know, build it back up. And the Blockbuster executive said, we are going to evaluate every single Blockbuster store, see which ones we can close, which ones we, you know, will leave open because they make money. Quick poll of the audience. Adam, have you ever used Blockbuster?
Not since Netflix.
Ryan, have you?
It's been a couple years, but I'm not a Netflix user either.
Okay, so how...
Well, I was, but I'm not
do
now.
You use any rentals? Do you do any renting?
Redbox or anything?
I do Redbox, yes, occasionally.
Okay, so basically... I don't do rentals of any sort. So of those people who do rentals, it seems like everybody uses something other than Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why? Adam, what took you away from Blockbuster?
Horrible business model.
So really? Like, you're one of those people who care that, oh, this company isn't making money, I'm going to stop renting their DVDs.
No. By that I mean they're asking me to give them $4 for one night for a new DVD, whereas Netflix, I'm giving them $10 or $11 a month, and I'm getting unlimited Blu-rays, keep as long as I want.
Right. $0 for a late fee.
Yeah, no late fee. You know, right. Plus I get streaming, high-def streaming now.
Right.
And so why would I give them, you know, by the time I rent 3 videos from Blockbuster, I've already paid more than I pay monthly for Netflix, and I probably can get 15 movies a month if I feel like it.
Right, especially if you stream.
Yeah.
Netflix is an awesome deal if you are a heavy movie watcher. Not even heavy, like I'd say a moderate movie watcher.
Yeah. Does Netflix do 1080p?
720.
See, that's why I don't do it.
Why?
Dude, I'm a stickler. I absolutely hate having a 1080p TV and watching stuff that is not 1080 on that TV.
So you're telling me that you do not watch any other channel except high def channels?
I try not to. That's not a lie. I try not to.
Well, and to be quite honest, I don't think anybody broadcasts in 1080p.
Well, no, broadcasts are 1080i, but yeah. I'm just saying 1080. Like, yeah. Fill the screen. You're not stretching pixels to fill my screen. So, like, everything, you know, DVDs are 480, seriously? Like, I have a TV that's twice that size.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like anything else. I mean, like, you're not complaining on YouTube. Everything's like 480, and it's
that's on my monitor.
I've got a 1600 by 1 zillion pixels display.
No, that's totally different because that's a computer.
Not.
Nobody expects video on a web browser on a computer to be full screen and looking perfect. We've all grown up with video enough to know that internet video sucks. That's what we expect.
We grew up with analog TV with 525 lines or less.
480.
Over an antenna
okay.
from a transmitter 10 miles away that caused all kinds of ghosting.
But now I have a 1080p TV and I have Blu-ray. And I am, what's the word I'm looking for?
Spoiled.
Spoiled. That's the word.
Well,
if it doesn't look as good as my Blu-ray, I do not want to watch it.
I do have to admit, watching Avatar on a 40-inch 1080p
yes.
Blu-ray was almost as good as the 3D IMAX in the theater.
Seriously.
Well, you guys realize that the 1080p on Blu-rays is actually like, you get less frames. You get 24 frames a second.
But that's with all cinema. All cinema ever is 24 frames.
Right, but there's more pixels in film than there is in 1080.
Well, it depends on how you scan it. Yeah,
right.
You're right. Film can have more resolution because it's a negative.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that 1080p is broadcast at 60 hertz.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, 720p is broadcast at 60 hertz, and 1080i is broadcast, it's only 30 because it's interleaved. So the pixel rate is not much different. It's still, I mean, it's
I'm not concerned with frame rate. I'm concerned with stretching of pixels and seeing blurring and
graininess.
It's all
about how many pixels you get, though. Like, how many pixels you get per hour.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's not about frame rates and,
it's
you know, 3 gigabits.
Oh, so you're happy with 3 frames per second.
Yes, I would like to see stop motion video. That's exactly what I want. But you get my point. If you open up an image and you resize an image to be bigger, it looks crappy. It's grainy, it's blurry.
Unless you're on CSI.
Unless you're on CSI, and then they do it awesome.
I mean, if you're using bipolar interpolation, it's awesome.
Dude, bipolar interpolation, my butt.
I'm going to make a VB GUI to get the IP address of.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. ABC is, and I think Fox, are both 720p, and they look fine.
Not mine, they're 1080.
No, but they broadcast from the studios in 720p. So
are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
I don't think you are.
They bought all their cameras like 4 years ago when they went to HD. And
are you just talking like local HD, like the
news? No, like CBS, PBS, and NBC picked 1080i, and Fox and ABC picked 720p. So their studios and their distribution network are set up for that.
I'm going to pull
now,
the Wikipedia citation needed.
That said, yeah. that said, your box probably upconverts the 720p to 1080p. So that it works with your monitor.
I don't know what the box does or if their equipment
I do.
Transmits
it. Upconverts it.
My Dish DVR, you know that upconverts?
It guarantee it upconverts from 720p, whatever it receives.
Because as far as my signal is concerned on the TV, it says it's 1080. You know, it tells
me
the
TV,
incoming signal is 1080. Not the TV, the Dish DVR.
Well, then Dish is doing it.
That's what I'm saying. I think somewhere along the line, if it's not 1080, then it's doing it before it gets to me.
I have a source.
You have a source?
Fox and ABC broadcast in 720p, as does ESPN.
Okay,
ESPN.
CBS and HBO broadcast in 1080i, most others.
That's
well
good that I don't
others.
Watch a lot of stuff. Wait,
NBC,
CBS.
Everything on NBC.
All of the shows that I watch are on NBC.
You watch CBS stuff too. You watch Big Bang Theory.
That's the one thing I was just going to say. Yeah. What do I watch on CBS? Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's 1080i. So
Okay, so
but here's the thing. This is one last thing on 1080i and just the whole. There's a lot of people that are like 1080p snobs versus i. Like, there are no commercially available sources of 1080p at 60 frames a second. None. Just so everyone's clear with that. There's none.
Like, no, I agree. Okay, I'm not arguing that.
So when you receive a 1080i signal that runs at 60 fields per second, which is 30 frames, because a field is half a frame, your TV reintegrates the two frames.
Right.
So you get 1080p at 30 frames a second instead. So 1080i is functionally equivalent.
Yeah, most people don't know the difference between P and I anyways.
Yeah.
But I was just more concerned with the literal size and the stretching of pixels to make them fit. Mm-hmm. But anyways, back to the original story, Blockbuster.
Yes.
Do you guys think they're going under? Do you think this restructuring is going to help?
I think what they should do is just like go after their business models that work. I'm sure there are boxes that compete. They have some boxes that compete with Redbox. Like,
they do, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're probably doing well. They have a stream. I thought they had a streaming or online rental.
They did,
system.
Yeah.
They did, but it couldn't compete with Netflix.
Which surprises me because I thought the way it worked was you rented it online, then you could drop it off at the store, which is cool because it's like, oh, if I'm on the way to work, I'll just drop it off at the store. I don't have to go to the post office or find a mailbox, which they keep ripping out. Like, they keep taking away the blue mailboxes.
Yeah. But even with Netflix, you could just put it in your mailbox, right? Like, they give you a prepaid envelope, and you just walk out your door and put it in?
I guess you could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Blockbuster is just, like, one step behind. Mm-hmm. I hope they go under. We don't need all of
hope,
these.
You hope they go under?
I hope they go
you
under.
You hope an American corporation goes bankrupt?
Yes.
I don't even hope that of Apple.
And then I hope that Netflix hires all of them.
But what about the CEO?
Did you see the CEO of Netflix, his quote about Americans?
No.
They're just starting to offer streaming in Canada, and that's the only service they're offering in Canada is streaming.
Okay.
And they're charging $1 less for a Canadian subscription than they are American. And he said most Americans won't notice because something along the lines of they're so full of themselves and they don't care about anything else. They'll never even notice that it's cheaper in another country.
So is he talking about like the exchange rate? Like, we're not smart enough to...
No, we're not. He said we're not smart enough to notice that they're paying a dollar less than we are.
Wow.
Oh, he's right. I don't care.
I don't either. As long as I'm saving money on it,
I don't
want to
live in Canada. I know
that's
much.
True. I do not. Canada's like, I'm going to steal a joke from somebody. Canada's like, you know, the loft apartment above a really great party. I forget who said that. I think it was like Jeff Foxworthy or one of the blue collar comedy tour guys. But it was pretty funny. All right, so next story is again Ryan's.
You caught me off guard here. So this one's pretty cool. There was a reporter who was kidnapped in Afghanistan.
In Afghan.
In Afghan. He was trapped in his Afghan on the couch. All wrapped up. He was kidnapped in Afghanistan, and he used his phone, I guess, whatever he had, to tweet a status message from captivity. And this helped them find where he was, and I guess he was released.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? I mean, do you think this like has changed our view or our changed, I guess, how like does it make Twitter any cooler for you?
I think that what he did specifically is, cooler with Twitter because, Twitter now tries to locate you by default.
Yeah.
Almost every client tries to upload your location with every tweet. So, yes, that is amazing. And I think, even though this is an article from not too long ago, I remember some time ago that somebody else did the same thing. Somebody
the
was...
The lady in the woods.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so more than one person have used Twitter to, get help. But I want to say another thing on the other side of the story. Boo on the people who kidnapped him from not taking away his phone. Well, like, really, do they not know how to kidnap people?
Well, they don't know phones exist sometimes.
That's true.
If they're, like, really in desolate areas.
But they have RPGs. How do they not know phones exist?
You would think if they know enough to kidnap someone, they might know that he had a phone.
You'd think.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. Well, just one other thing. Like, let's juxtapose this.
New word. We coined it here.
Yeah, juxtapose this against a text message. Why is this better than just sending a text message?
Well, a text message goes to one person.
Yeah, this broadcast.
This is like the world.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's kind of pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, like one person that somebody could like, they don't believe that it's like that it's true, but if it goes on Twitter, it's got to be true, right?
Exactly. I mean, you send it to one of your friends, right? It could be a joke. You know, yeah. They could just be screwing with you. But if you put it on Twitter, I guess, yeah, it is more true.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the internet, so.
It's powerful. I really think this is a powerful use of Twitter. Maybe we should just all have, like, little Twitter chips installed in us that, like,
we should.
At any given time, like, you can tweet just, like, where you're at.
Touch your shoulder and you're tweeting.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a plan for Google Me.
Oh, that would be awesome. But, yeah, I would like to know, because this article doesn't say, at least that I saw, what this person's follower count was, how many people follow this person. Because I only have, like, 231 followers, I think. If I were to tweet, I've just been captured, is anybody really going to look at my account and see that I've been captured and do something about it? 231 people?
Well, I think, like, I don't know. I do notice some people that I follow, mainly closer friends.
Right.
That the frequency with which they tweet. So, like, if you tweeted something like that and I hadn't seen anything for a couple days, I might go back and, like, oh, what was his last tweet? Like, when? Why isn't he tweeting?
That is true, because I tweet, like, 1,000 times a day.
Right.
Nice.
People have asked me before, we're like, you haven't tweeted yet. What's wrong with you? Are you sick?
Yeah, something wrong. You okay? Going on a cruise or something?
So, do you use Twitter, Adam?
Very little.
Very little? I was going to say, I don't think I follow you. I don't know your name on there. Haven't seen
it. Everyone uses it very little in comparison to Kevin.
Well, yeah, I use it very little in comparison to most people, though.
You use it very little in comparison to most people who also use it very little.
Yeah, yeah.
The fraction of a fraction.
I mostly use it just to keep in touch with other friends and stuff who are out of the area.
Okay.
That aren't on Facebook for whatever reason.
That's a topic for another time. Why aren't people on Facebook? Like, what's wrong with them?
Why aren't they?
Why aren't they? Like, I mean, you move away. How else are you going to... Why don't people want to keep in contact with other people?
Well, maybe there's a reason they moved away.
I mean, that could be. Because I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook that I really didn't talk to in high school. You know, I just knew.
Yeah.
But I'm still friends with them, and I still see what they're posting, and sometimes they say something interesting, and I talk to them. Like, why would you not want that for that one opportunity every once in a while to talk to somebody? I don't know. That's an argument for another time. Yeah. All right, so moving on. It's another story about mobile phones. We always have some mobile phone stuff in here. This one, though, is about Verizon. And something that we talked about before, we were hoping never happened, but it looks like Verizon wants to make it happen, and that is the future of 3G data is tiered. So,
bummer.
Yeah, I'm not...
Eh.
I was kind of hoping... Now, here's the thing. So, everybody's concerned about 3G data being tiered, whatever, but 4G is coming out now. LTE. So, all new phones in the next couple years are going to not be 3G. They'll be able to do 3G, but the main data will not be 3G. So, why is Verizon caring about tiering 3G whenever LTE is here tomorrow?
I don't totally understand. Well, maybe because it's more of a premium. Like, if there's more 4G bandwidth out there once it comes out, it still may be that the 3G tower space, or really frequency space, like how much bandwidth.
So it's a more expensive medium no matter what.
Right.
Even if there is something new.
It's slower. Like, the thing is, like, about faster connect speeds is you can transport more data. So, right now, this given point in time, certain tasks take a certain amount of data. So if you have a faster transport technology, those things are cheaper to do on that transport technology in terms of, like, how much time you waste with the connection open and actually using the medium.
Right.
Because it's a shared resource, the airwaves.
Yeah, Verizon, you know, said that their 3G users use the most data out of, you know, all U.S. cellular users.
Right.
So... Yeah, it's kind of obvious. I mean, whenever we talk about tiers, we talk about, you know, 2 gigabytes for this amount of money, 200 megabytes for this amount of money, you paying for the amount of data that you use. So basically caps. I mean, they're capping data. I don't like it.
I don't either. I would routinely go over the 2 gigabyte per month.
Yeah, people have, you know, argued with me, like, really, you go over 2 gigabytes? And if I stream video while I'm at work.
That's the big one.
Yeah, like, I'll watch, you know, Leo Laporte and his Twit broadcast, and if I watch two of those a week, I am well over 2 gigabytes a month.
Yeah, but, I mean, why, like, why not just use audio? Like if you're doing another task, just use audio.
There are some things that work on audio and there are some things that don't. You know, most podcasts do work on audio. This one is all audio, but at least for the Twitch stuff, you know, they broadcast some video and a lot of stuff they talk about and do on the show, they're showing you things on the screen and you don't get the same effect just listening.
Well, maybe they need to look into their model. I don't know. I still think of Twit as an audio format. Like, if I were sitting at home, I might like to watch the in-the-studio video, but I don't expect them to present video content.
Well, they are expecting themselves to present video for everything now. Like, that's their model now. They do release audio, but they are a video broadcast network now. Mm. It used to be that I would have my podcatcher download the MP3, you know, every Monday morning. I would put it on my phone, and that's how I would listen to it. Now, when I get to work, I grab the video download, and I watch the video while I'm working.
The goofy thing is they've been known as Twit TV for a long time, but now they're only just now starting to provide video.
Right. Yeah.
So. Anyway, I don't think there's any... I mean, Verizon already had a cap. It was 5 gig. Like, it wasn't uncapped before.
They didn't tell you, but they were.
No, it was a soft 5 gig cap. My guess is that the 2 gig cap in AT&T... Have you known anyone go over it yet?
The 2 gig. Have I known anyone who has gotten the new cap and gone over?
Yeah.
No.
I'll bet $10 that it's a soft cap as well. Like that, they're only going to hit you with the fees if you like are abusing it.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm still on the unlimited plan, so
I don't know.
Yeah. I think a little bit of this is marketing too, because AT&T can say they offer a 3G plan for $15 a month. Even though it's only 200 megabytes,
right?
You get an uneducated consumer.
So oh,
AT&T's
like it's cheap.
Is 15, Verizon's 30. Oh, I'm going to go AT&T, even though they don't really know the difference between the plans.
Right.
This gives Verizon some marketing leverage too. Doing this.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the people that don't know the difference and that would like buy the smaller plan because of price. Probably wouldn't use more than 250 megabytes anyway.
That is true.
And Verizon could just offer a lower price data plan and like not even, it, you know, I don't understand. I'm not sure why.
You would think that, but how many 12-year-olds are streaming video on cell phones right now?
That is true.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. You know, and how many of their parents looked at anything other than price when getting them a cell phone? You know.
Yeah.
There are a lot. That's part of the problem with the technology world in general. So it's just a lot of uneducated people in it.
Yeah, I don't even know how to fix that.
I think it's the problem with the regular world.
Yeah, that's just a people problem.
Yeah. That's a human problem. Can we start over? How do you reboot this? Okay, so moving on. Ryan, I believe this next article is yours, and this is kind of an interesting article.
Yeah, so some researchers recently... somehow got the notion to load up an iPod with a lot of data and then measure it to see if it weighed any more.
Yeah, that was like the joke for the longest time. Like, oh, you could put anything on anything. Bits don't weigh. Yeah. You know, they don't have a mass.
Yeah, well, apparently they do. They loaded up a 16-gig iPhone with 3,500 songs. And they measured the empty version of the iPhone, or the same phone empty, and it weighed 133.2 grams. And then when they loaded it up with the 3,500 songs, it weighed 133.6 grams.
So wait, you're talking theoretical objects have mass?
Well, I don't think it's so unbelievable. I mean, you know, there's these bits require some... change, like an electron or something, right?
Well, here's what gets me. Think about CDs and how you write data to CDs. You know, if you're writing data, you're digging a hole. So, like, you're making a pit. So you are removing mass from the CD.
Yeah.
Isn't that how hard drives also work? Like, it's not a die. It's magnetic, but...
Well, a hard drive is a little bit different than a
right,
flash device.
The iPhone is flash,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Is it...
But a hard drive, there's no removal or addition of material except for an electrical charge. It changes the charge on the surface of the disk. So, I don't even know if it's like actually like adding anything to it or if it just like...
Yeah, I don't know either.
But in terms of the flash memory, it's hard. It's a t- tough concept to wrap your mind around. But I really think it just comes down to adding an electron or two or three or however much it takes to get that piece of memory flipped to the positive side. What do you think? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. It's you know, we all took chemistry class, so we know that all of these things have mass. Electrons have mass. Protons have mass. But
yeah.
It takes an awful lot of those to get 0.4 grams.
Seriously.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember how much an electron weighs.
And
it's not much.
Yeah. It's like 0.0 moles or something.
No, moles are...
it's some animal.
No. Moles is not a measure of mass.
Yeah.
It's a quantity.
You can see that I did well. Actually, I did do well in chemistry, but I have since forgotten it all. So, yeah, that's...
Don't you remember Avogadro's number?
No, 2.54, I don't know.
6.022 times 10 to the 23rd.
Okay, yeah.
That's the number of things in
what's
a mole.
Is that E? 2 point something?
He's 2.7.
Okay, yeah.
2.7 something.
You could tell how long it's been since I've done calculus.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I don't know. I haven't done the math, but they must be adding a charge to that memory. So
yeah, I never knew how flash worked.
Yeah, well.
So
I don't really either. I'm not an electrical engineer.
Are there any other possibilities for the weight?
I mean, well, yeah, you know, you can get those theories. It could be
dust
oil from your hand, but it's 0.4 grams. That's actually quite a lot in terms of like weight. Like, it's very small. Well, but
can we quantify this? Do we know off the top of our head anything that weighs 1 gram? Like something that we can hold that we know a normal thing?
1 gram. Like I think like a grain of wheat is like a gram.
A single grain of wheat?
Yeah, a single grain of wheat.
Holy crap.
I think.
I'm doing a Google search right now. Oh, a paperclip.
Okay, there you go.
So a paperclip is 1 gram. So we're talking a little less than half of a paperclip.
Yeah,
It's 0.4 grams.
0.4, yeah.
So 0.4. Almost half of a paperclip.
Yeah.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, but you have to remember, now, I don't know if this math works out 100%, but if you put 3,500 songs on there, let's say an average of like 5 megabytes a piece.
Okay.
All right. So 5 times 3,500 is
a lot.
Brain, don't fail me now.
I'm not doing
17,500 megabytes. So that's 17.5 billion bits. Right? Bytes. Sorry. And there's 8 bytes in a bit. 8 bits in a byte.
A crap ton.
And if each bit requires a couple electrons.
Yeah. And not all of them are going to be turned on, but there's billions of them, so that's a lot.
Yeah. At least half. Right.
Let's just say half of them are turned on.
Although,
rumor has it that 1 trillion electrons would add up to a mass of a gram if they were all bound together.
A trillion.
So we're half a trillion. We're in the ballpark.
We're approaching half a trillion.
Because it might take a couple electrons to get the charge to stick.
Yeah, because I know you're laughing now, but I do remember reading something about flash memory that they have to fudge stuff because of the way flash saves its state.
Yeah.
So that might be the case.
I don't think it's one. I don't think any memory cells use one electron.
Yeah, it's not just like one for on, zero for off.
Right, it's a bunch of electrons to create the charge. So.
Interesting.
So I think we're in the ballpark, maybe.
It's possible.
If you're saying it takes a trillion to get to a gram, it would take 400 billion to get to 0.4 grams.
Yeah.
So 400 billion, and what did we say a minute ago? 17 billion.
Times 8.
So it's like maybe like 10 or so.
I think we're going to pull a Mythbusters here and say plausible.
Plausible, yeah. Plausible, that's a good one.
All right, moving on. So this story affected me. I don't know that it affected anybody else because whenever I complained about it, everybody thought I was crazy. But Facebook went down.
Oh, I saw this.
Twice, actually.
That's what she said.
Ooh. Nothing about Zuckerberg. So, yeah, Facebook literally went down. Like, website not responsive. You are laughing way too much. So it happened twice. The first time, Facebook came out and said, yeah, we had some trouble with one of our top-level carrier networks, and they wouldn't say who, but I put on Twitter, I'm like, I know exactly who. It's AT&T's problem. Because I couldn't access Facebook from my iPhone. I couldn't access Facebook from my work internet connection. We use AT&T as a provider. I couldn't access it from home. My WiMAX is top-level AT&T. So AT&T is the one who made Facebook go down the first time. But the second time it went down, it affected a lot more people, not just a single provider. So more people noticed it. And everybody's like, oh, it's a DNS problem. Everybody blames DNS. So what Facebook claims is that, oh, one of our people, they updated a incorrect value in our database, and we have a system in place that tries to correct incorrect values automatically, and because it was wrong, we DDoSed ourselves. I don't believe that, but before we get into how legit that is, did either of you guys notice that Facebook was down?
No. The second one I did.
The second one?
The first one I did not, but I'm on Comcast.
Okay.
I didn't notice at all because it was during the day, and I don't hit it during the day.
No, I thought the second one was at night, wasn't it?
Well, then that night I didn't hit it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I leave Facebook open in a tab all day, all the time, no matter where I'm at. If I'm in front of a computer, Facebook is open in a tab. So I definitely noticed. And I noticed as soon as it went down, I'm like, why has Facebook been down since 1:15 p.m. and it just came up at 3:45 p.m.? Like, I noticed.
I didn't notice quite to that extent. But I noticed I couldn't access it for like a 5-minute time span.
So I have two questions. One, do you think that they're just giving some crappy explanation? Really? You DDoS yourself with some automated system?
And two, are you a Facebook addict?
Yeah. Well, they did just update all of their APIs. Because I was reading a blog where a Facebook app developer who does that's his job. You know, he does for freelancing for their companies. Everything he had done had broken because of an API update.
Interesting.
So it is possible that they did put something out that wasn't tested right with the API update, and then
Yeah, because, I mean, what they did would have had to have been major, because it wasn't just like the APIs broke. It was you go to Facebook.com and you get a server not found. Their DNS entries did work. So you can't trust this article, people saying DNS, because as soon as Facebook went down, I immediately opened up a command prompt, host Facebook.com. I got DNS responses. So DNS was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, their entire website just down.
They had to bring their database servers down,
didn't they? In essence, they had to take their database servers down, and because they did that, the website went down.
I bet they got hacked and the Russians have our information.
They already had our information.
Oh, okay.
So my second question, though, do you think this is going to affect the bottom line at all? Maybe not just Facebook's bottom line with advertising dollars, but all of those people who make money from ads and games, Zynga, with Farmville and everything. Do you think anybody...
An hour or 2 hours?
It was 2 hours for the first time, 2.5 hours the second time. Do you think anybody cares enough to sue Facebook?
No.
I mean, if
it was 2 hours every day, I could see, for a week. But 2 hours out of a month.
Even maybe a full day. I could see there being some action, but a couple hours, I don't think. Because my best guess is that as soon as that 2.5 hour span was up, everyone was back on their games and
that's everything. True. Yeah, everybody probably had their games still open and they were just waiting for the connection to come back.
Yeah. Must get my sheep.
Yeah. I gotta farm my strawberries.
My sheep needs fodder. It's gonna die.
Yeah, I don't play Farmville or any other game like that, so I have no clue.
I don't either, but
neither.
Yeah.
I have relatives who do, so
I keep seeing people post on Facebook, I need somebody to help me raise my barn. It's like, I just want to reply, not R-A-I-S-E, R-A-Z-E. Somebody needs to tear down your barn, because this is ridiculous.
You're going to raise your barn.
But nobody would get that anyways, because nobody knows what real words mean, so that wouldn't be funny to anybody but me.
Exactly.
There are some epic Facebook posts, I will say.
There really are.
No one's quite a pedant like you.
Shut up, I'm not. All right, moving on. So we have a couple security stories. The first one is a kind of, I want to say, big and super freaking scary. I don't know if either of you guys have seen this, but Google, we all know that for some time now, Google's been having trouble in China with the Great Firewall of China. Google's pulling out, going back in, pulling out, going back in. Do not say that's what she said. And so now, apparently, well, we all know Google tracks IP addresses. So if you use Gmail and you scroll down to the bottom of the page, the Gmail page will tell you your account was last accessed from this IP address. So you know whether somebody else was accessing your account. Well, now they're putting up a big red banner at the top of Gmail if they see that your account has been accessed by an IP address in China. People have actually gotten this. You know, if you search Twitter for Gmail in China, you can see a lot of people who have gotten this. I'm scared a little bit, really, that somebody from China is hacking, you know, our Gmail accounts. Do we all use Gmail here?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of us use Gmail. Maybe not as a primary account, but we all use it.
Oh, yeah, I use it.
Yeah, so are you guys afraid? Like, if somebody from China was maliciously able to get your data, do you have anything out there that, if they got, would be problematic to you?
I'm sure there's stuff in there, like, you know, password account names, you know, from, like, password reset stuff. Like, maybe that would help them figure out my password.
Addresses, the last four of your credit cards for, you know, anything that you bought using your Gmail account.
Yeah. I have used my account for purchases, so it would be...
Yeah, my Gmail account is all I use for purchases.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only account that I use.
I mean, my password is fairly strong, though. Like, it gets, like, the strong rating on all the...
Mine would take many, many decades for a program to crack just because it's all special characters.
Unless it just guessed it on the first
try. Yeah, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think anybody's going to get into my account just because my password is long and it's all special characters. It only makes sense to me, you know. But, this is scary. So none of you have gotten this red banner.
No.
Would you freak out if you saw that? Like, what would your first reaction be?
I'd be pretty scared. I would change the password immediately.
Okay, see, that's the thing that I think nobody else in the world knows to do.
Yeah.
You know, my somebody that I know, I won't say who, I get emails from them every once in a while that are just a blank subject and a link in the email, and it goes out to like 50 people. And you know, somebody hacked their account, what should you do? Change your password. Yeah. Did they know to do that? No, because two more days I get another one from them, two more days I get another one from them.
Also, make sure you update your... other contact email as well.
Right.
Because if they modify that, any password changes will go to that account.
Yeah, I actually just got something the other day when I went to log into Gmail. They're like, a big banner, what if you lost access to your Gmail account? Are these other ways of contacting you correct?
Yeah.
And it had my other email and my phone number.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely.
You know, interestingly enough, I have a dummy account that I use in Facebook just to test the privacy settings, like, so I know for sure that my privacy settings are set up right.
So you don't trust the preview my profile?
I do now because I've tested it, but I didn't before.
That's good. I wouldn't either.
But anyways, that account sits dormant. Like, I never touch the account. Like, you know, great, once in a while I'll log in and, like, you know, I'll test it if their, you know, settings change or something. So, like, a couple weeks ago, I got an email on one of my other Yahoo accounts or something that something happened on that Facebook account. I'm like, what? I haven't been logged in. So I logged in. And it gave me this message on Facebook, like, that you need to, like, reestablish your account or re-enable it. And but the email said there was, like, specifically, like, some sort of activity on my account. Like, my account did something.
Like, they didn't tell you what?
No, like, you posted this to a wall or something.
They didn't tell you that? They just said activity in quotes?
And... No. That you posted, like, one of those, like, Facebook notifications. It says, like, you responded to such and such post or whatever.
Right.
But it was, like, you put something on someone's wall. And, like, when I went in and checked, it wasn't there on my feed or on this other account's feed. Hmm. But I have to wonder if, like, China's not trying to hack into that, too.
You would assume so.
Why do they want to hack into our stuff? I don't get. Well, I know the whole thing about, like, them wanting to hack into Chinese nationals' accounts so that they can see if they're, like, emailing people stuff that's subverting their firewall.
Their government.
Right. Yeah.
But like, what about those people on the outside who could be helping the Chinese people subvert their government?
Well, I guess.
Specifically people who use Google, because Google has been the big problem company in China.
So maybe these people that got their accounts hacked are just helping people in China.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Although,
maybe they got their justice.
I don't think that is the case, because somebody who's on one of the tech shows that I watch got that. Pretty sure that they're not helping anybody in China.
Well, maybe they're trying to, like, get information out. If they're a journalist.
Yeah, that's true. They are
journalists. It sounds more like just a vendetta against Google.
It could be.
Yeah, I mean... Because you haven't heard of China attacking anybody else. If you hear of people attacking, it's like Romania or Russia, somebody with big hacking rings.
Yeah.
But China attacked Android market. They've attacked Gmail.
Yeah, so lots of Google stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so You heard it here first, folks. Stop using Google products.
Disconnect your computer from the internet right now.
If you have a Droid phone, throw it in the East River so it can sleep with the fishes.
Yes. Exactly.
I cannot do that.
Move to an iPhone. It's worth it.
I can't use AT&T where I'm at.
That sucks.
No service. Covered 97%, and I'm in at 3%.
No service. How's that different from the rest of their network?
It's funny because it's true. All right, so moving on to a second security story. This one was also big, but only if you use a specific service, Twitter, which we talk about almost every episode. But Twitter got hit with a worm. The first worm, basically, somebody found out that you could put JavaScript in your tweets and Twitter would just show it.
In the href.
Yeah. You could put JavaScript in a link. You can make a link that whenever you did an on mouse over, it did something. So people took advantage of the on mouse over in the href tag, and they were able to, hack people's computers. So somebody else found out, hey, we can do some cross-site request forgery also. So two times in a week, Twitter gets worms, and they're both sent with, the second one was sent with a message that said WTF and then a link. So, if I posted something that said that, 90% of the people who follow me would be like, oh, what's he looking at? I'm going to click it. Seriously, I mean, if you were to do that, your family, your friends, they would all do the same. They would click a link that you posted.
Yeah, probably.
Everybody would. So, have either of you seen these links on other people's Twitter accounts? I personally haven't seen any bad links.
No.
So, that's good. So, our friends have not been affected.
And if you know how it works, if you can't see it, it's not true.
That's true. Wait.
My friends all mostly adhere to the, don't talk to strangers, don't click the link.
Right. Stranger danger. Yeah, this is...
Patch the Pony says nay.
What?
Do you remember that?
Patch the Pony?
Patch the Pony. I don't remember Patch.
It was like a public service set of like 16mm films they used to send to schools. Patch the Pony says nay to strangers.
Wow, I don't remember that.
I
gotta find
that.
This. Wait.
Patch the Pony. Yeah, so I think that the worst thing about these is that the second time they got hacked with the WTF links, those links took people to Goatsy sites. So, okay, all three of us here know what that is. If you're listening and you don't know what that is, please do not look it up. Just don't do it. Just trust us. It's bad. You will be scarred for life. Do not look it up. But that's what... I mean, most people are trying to steal money or steal your credit card or your email accounts. These people just want to show you disgusting porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that will scar you for life, it's Patch the Pony.
Patch the Pony? You found it?
Well...
It almost looks like a My Little Pony.
No, so it says, in the early 80s, this was a public awareness campaign similar to the anti-drug DARE that taught kids about the danger of strangers.
Wow.
Yeah, I totally remember this in the kindergarten watching Patch the Pony.
Well, isn't there some irony in showing kids a pony and not to talk to strangers? Sort of their favorite thing.
Kids want to talk to ponies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, here's a princess. Don't talk to her.
Yeah.
Princesses are evil.
Drink the rich, fresh milk. This was the special treat that Patch enjoyed whenever he visited the farm.
Special milk?
When Patch had finished his milk and said goodbye to his friends, he would trot off into the hills again.
Wow.
For a second there, I didn't think I was going to like where this was going.
I know, right?
You got to check out Patch the Pony. He's awesome.
Okay, so everybody out there listening, pause the podcast, look up Patch the Pony on YouTube, and watch them.
Patch the Pony says, nay, nay, and strangers, stay away.
Wow. That must have been before my time, because we are a couple years apart.
Yeah, this was early 80s. It would have been like 84, 85.
Oh, I was being born.
I was in first or kindergarten. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. All right, so our last couple stories, as usual, are about mobile phones. This first one I found very interesting. The title from Wired.com, Court OKs Covert iPhone Audio Recording. So basically, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but you're not allowed to record people without their consent if you're in a private place. mm-hmm. where you have an expectation of privacy. If you're in a public place, there's no expectation of privacy. You can record them. You can take pictures of them. They might punch you in the face, but you can do it.
Right.
It's legal.
Well, they can't punch you in the face. Well, they could punch
you
in the face.
But then you can sue them.
Right. For what did that be?
For a battery.
Yeah.
Isn't that what just happened to Russell Brand?
Yeah. So basically, a court has said now that you're allowed to record people. They upheld it. So, you know, a lot of people have tried to sue other people for recording them, but now the courts are like, no, this is perfectly fine. So what does this mean for us? Well, if you get pulled over by a cop and you think the cop pulled you over wrongly, you could bust out your iPhone, hit the record button, record the whole conversation. So if you happen to go to court, you have that whole conversation with you and the cop, and it is perfectly legal.
Yep.
So I think that is awesome.
Is this related to that recording that somebody made of a police officer doing an arrest, and then they tried to sue them? And
I don't see that listed anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere in the article.
I saw a news story recently about it. There was a police officer who I can't remember what happened. If it was a traffic stop or something else, and they recorded the police officer. Then once they took the person down to the station, they charged them with obstruction of justice or something like that.
For the recording.
For the recording.
Yeah, that's crap.
Or some other, you know, weird charge. And then it finally went to court, and then they overturned that part of it.
Right.
So the person only has to, you know, they're going to be, they press, there's still charges against, like, whatever they did wrong.
But not for the recording.
But not for the recording.
Yeah, this article was specifically for a case where a person's mother was dying, and the son secretly recorded a conversation between the mother, stepfather, and others on how to handle her estate after her death.
Oh.
So nobody knew this was happening, but he did it because he knew stuff was going down, and he wanted to have it all on audio tape. You know, this is what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the stepfather, because, you know, really, you go to court, who are you going to trust, a dad or a kid? Dad gets trusted all the time because he's older, supposed to be more mature, more trustworthy. Trustable.
Trustable.
Yeah, so I think this is awesome. That now, you know, the court says it's okay to record. Have you ever thought that, wow, I should be recording this because it's going to come in handy soon, but I'm afraid to? Like, have you ever been in a situation where you thought that?
Yes.
Do you want to elaborate, or do you just want to say yes?
I will say yes and leave it at that.
Okay. Ryan, anything?
Yeah, when I do podcasts.
So you want to record this to make sure that there's no inappropriate touching?
Yes.
Although I guess you would need a video recording of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not going to happen. So yeah, that was just pretty cool. So moving on away from this. This next thing, people have known about this for a while because iOS 4.1, the new operating system for the iPhone, has been out for a couple weeks. And people were complaining because in 4.0, there was no field test mode. And the field test mode is what you could bring up to show you the actual decibel rating of your antenna signal. So if you were wondering, you know, I have 3 bars. What in the world does that mean? You could go into field test mode and see, oh, that's negative 89 decibels. Well, they took that out in 4.0. Everybody complained. 4.1 comes. You can do it again. So for those of you with iOS 4.1, let me just tell you what to type into your phone to do that. You need to type asterisk 3001 pound 12345 pound asterisk. So you can't make this a contact. It will not work. I tried it. It has to be, you know, typed directly into the phone application. But it will put you in field test mode and show you the rating. And the reason I want to bring this
Did they not let you do the contact so like you don't drunk dial the field test mode?
I don't see why. I mean, it doesn't do anything. But yeah, I tried it as a contact, and whenever you make it as a contact and you click it, it tries to call it as if it was a number, and then you get the boo-doo-doo, this number is wrong or something.
Okay, yeah. So it's detecting that you're doing the whole typing thing. I got you.
Yeah, so the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we talked a lot before about the death grip on the iPhone 4 and how, you know, it really degrades the signal, and now we can test that. And I will say that I held my phone in the death grip, and I lost about 20 decibels of signal. So that was, you know, we saw that chart. Did you, Adam, have you seen the chart? Ars Technica published a bunch of charts of the decibel ratings for 5 bars, the decibel ratings for 4 bars, and what most companies show. And so my phone really does, if you do the death grip, it really does lose a lot of signal strength, mm-hmm. enough to take it down to one bar.
What's your average reading around here?
Crap, my phone is upstairs, so I can't tell you.
I just meant like, you know, in the last couple days, like if you used it.
High 80s, low 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that like 3 bars, 4 bars?
It's around 4 bars. Okay. If I'm downtown, I get about 3 bars. If I'm here, I get 5.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what the difference is. You know, it's only 1 mile away, literally a mile from my house to work.
Right. Well, it's just distance to the tower.
I think it's the same distance because the tower is on the hill by the incline, and I'm as far from the incline as my work is far from the incline.
Well,
so it's just kind of funny.
My guess is if you're downtown,
you probably
more
have a lot
shadowing
more
from the hill.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Interference.
Yeah, lots of trees in the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wanted to point that out, that if you were one of the people complaining that you didn't have field test mode, now you have it. Have either of you tried? Do you know if your phones have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, mine you just go into the status and it tells you right away what it's at.
So you see the decibel rating.
Yeah, and I don't know that it changes on the fly. It might just like snapshot
every time
it.
You open it. Yeah.
But you do it a couple times and average the 3 readings or something. Yeah.
And you have a Droid, right, Adam?
Yeah.
A regular Droid or an Incredible or an X?
Moto Droid.
Okay, so the Motorola one.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to show the decibel rating that you know of? Have you cared to look?
I do not know. Most of my tests have been like speed tests with 3G and okay. things like that.
Well, my guess is if it doesn't have it automatically, you could just open up like a shell and like, you know, use a shell script and like actually get it.
On a Droid, probably.
Write a program to access the memory location that it's stored in.
You're going to... This is a dig at Apple, isn't it? Not being able to do that. I knew that was coming. Yeah, so what speeds do you get on 3G whenever you're at your house? Like, what's your download speed average?
About a 1.2M.
Okay. What about you, Ryan?
On 3G?
3G. Well, do you have any other G?
just Warren G. No, when I used to, I haven't tested it with my BlackBerry because I don't have tethering enabled, but when I had my Windows phone and I had 3G, if I tethered, I could get like, high 700s to low 900s okay. download.
That's interesting. So you both are on Verizon, right?
Yeah.
This was a couple years ago, okay. too.
So. I am real close to a tower, though.
Okay. See, this is one of those things where I should just come out and say, ha, AT&T is better, because my iPhone, I get over 3 meg download speed.
Well, you guys
3G.
Are upgraded to HDS.
That's because you're the only one around here using
That's
it.
That's probably true. Yeah. I probably am.
But they've upgraded to HSDPA. Whatever, yeah. 3.
Have they really around here?
They would have to, I guess. I mean, you can't get it. You can't get a higher speed on a lower...
What is... Do we know the limit of 3G? Like what the...
Which 3G?
3G. 3G,
well,
3G.
I mean, there's different speeds. There's HDSPA 3.6, 7.2.
Oh, well, not 7. Obviously, not 7.2. Just standard 3G that most phones use. Not Edge, not 2G. Standard 3G.
But I mean, all those technologies are 3G technologies. Like CDMA 2000, like, you know, 1X EVDO, that's a 3G technology.
Well, that's what I mean. Standard EVDO, AT&T's 3G, just the standard third generation network for data.
I think the theoretical maximum on EVDO is in like the 3 meg region.
Okay, so it is about, so I potentially could be maxing out the standard 3G and
but,
not using HSDPA 7.
Doesn't use that. AT&T uses a completely different technology. I think their original 3G technology was only in like the 1 meg region, which is why their download speeds were in like the 400 to 600 K.
Ooh, that would suck.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I think once they upgraded the towers to like 3.6, the HSDPA 3.6, then they were able to hit, you know, you're able to hit into the couple megabits.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we're upgraded around here to 7 or 7.2,
no,
whatever it.
It
is. Yeah. Okay, so last article of the day is Facebook working on phones? Have you guys heard about this?
I had not until I saw this article.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. So, somebody came out and said, hey, Facebook's working on phones. And Facebook said, no. Like, literally same day. I believe it was TechCrunch. It was either TechCrunch or Bloomberg came out and said, Facebook is working on phones. We have proof. Same day. They didn't even let them, you know, make money off of ad revenue for people clicking on the article. Facebook is like, no, we are not. But then a couple days went by, and now Facebook starts to open up a little more. And yeah, they might be pulling a Google now. So they might be having some company, you know, do the hardware while they're doing the operating system. Do you guys think this is good? We have iOS, we have Android, now we have Facebook making their own operating system.
My guess is that they're working on some sort of API for a phone, or so, you know, something that like it's like a social integration type thing. And that they, you know, maybe they are building on a custom hardware to like demo it, if anything.
So you don't think it's going to be a full Facebook OS? You just think it's something to add?
I don't think they've shown the capability of doing something like that yet, have they?
Yeah. Well, they've showed the capability of sucking.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I mean, Ajax programmers are not going to be able to develop an OS.
Yeah, right. You know, as far as we know, they have web programmers because they're mostly web-based.
Well, Palm Pre, web OS. Every single application is Ajax HTML.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still things underneath.
Yeah, you still have to do underneath the.
Right. You still need the OS.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you still need the hardware integration.
Like even Windows. I mean, there's the Windows program. There's the API, the interface layer, and the, you know, like the human interface layer.
Right.
And then underneath that, there's like, you know, the
stuff
guys,
that nobody knows about.
Yeah, exactly. There's like four guys that sit in a dark room with like an endless supply of Mountain Dew and candy. And they make the
what
OS.
What kind of candy?
Yeah.
Warheads?
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe Zuckerberg hired a bunch of embedded developers.
I'm wondering because there have also been articles going around that people are leaving Google to go to Facebook. Facebook is now stealing Google employees. Mm. And, I mean, that happens a lot in Silicon Valley, so maybe they're taking Google's mobile people.
Maybe.
You know? Do you think this is good? So we agree that we don't think they can do it right now, but if they were to do it, with all the problems Facebook has had on everything they've ever done ever, do you think this is good?
No.
I don't understand why they would get into that business. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing of Google 10 years ago. Why would they make an OS? Like, if you asked me in 1998 or 1999, when Google started to really take off, Would they someday have a browser? I would have said no. And if you had asked me, would they have an OS? I would say hell no.
Right. But, yeah, Google does search. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one thought that they could get as big as they are. But I don't think Facebook is the next Google. I don't think they have anywhere near the revenue stream that Google had ever. Like, I mean, once Google got popular.
Really? Zuckerberg's like the richest man in the world now.
No, he's not. He's richer than Steve Jobs.
I know. I was being a little facetious, but he has 100 million or billion. He has 100 some money to give to New Jersey schools.
100 million.
100 million. 100 million, yeah. So he can just throw around that kind of money. Do you really think Facebook doesn't have? I mean, for a single person to throw around that kind of money, do you really think Facebook doesn't have lots more than that?
Well,
They have the money to do it. I think that goes without saying. I just don't think they have. I just don't see them doing it. They haven't proven that they can.
They'd have to buy a lot of talent,
yeah.
I think.
You would know that they're doing it just by seeing the talent go in there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what the resumes look like of the people that are leaving Google and going to Facebook to understand like what their next step is. Because
Are they good people or are they...
Well, are they Android people or are they, you know, their apps division or something?
Yeah,
or
like data mining people. Right. Something like that, you know?
Yeah, that could be... I personally don't want to see this happen.
I just don't think it makes a lot of sense. The smartphone market and mobile OS, it's already crowded.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a couple fall before long here anyways.
Right. But look, on the other side of it, the mobile market is the market now. So if anybody wants to get into a market that's going to make them money, the mobile market's the one they want to do, whether they can get into it.
It's definitely it's growing fast, but that's because there's nothing there now. Like, I still think the mobile market pales in comparison to desktops. You know, I'm not saying that it's not growing very quickly, and it may someday eclipse it, but it's such a big growth because there was nothing there to begin with.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I hope Facebook doesn't do this. I don't trust them. If they do it, I'm not going to buy one of their phones. I can tell you that.
Well, I mean, I just, like, what are they going to market themselves? Like, where's their footing, you know? Other than just like, oh, we do a really cool social experience on the web.
Well, here's this.
Transfer that to mobile. It's now
transferred. But it's already been done. They have a web app. They have, you have Motoblur that like integrates all of your Facebook crap into your phone.
Yeah, but they don't get a big enough cut of the money.
Yeah.
That's Motorola.
But who cares? It's been done. Like, what's going to make me pick Facebook stuff over Motoblur, for instance?
What? Well, that's for us, maybe. For the other 99% of people, they know hey, I love Facebook website. Hey, there's a phone made by Facebook. Yes. Everybody buys it.
Well, maybe. I mean, based on brand recognition alone.
Right. And I mean,
that's a uniquely American thing, though. I don't think that that'll spread. Americans are very brand-oriented, but I don't think that's a global thing.
Well, especially since a lot of places in the world don't use Facebook, don't know what it is.
Yeah. But I mean, just in general, like even if Facebook were all over the world, I don't think that just because it was a Facebook phone, people would buy it everywhere else. I mean, Europe is still defying all modern science with their like love of Symbian.
Yeah, it's just true. So, what is wrong with those people? Seriously. But look at it this way. Microsoft tried to do the exact same thing with the Kin. It flopped, but they did it. They built a phone with their own social network operating system.
Yeah.
Is Facebook making another Kin? I mean, they could do it.
Maybe. I mean, they could. But I think there, again, it shows you that a social phone doesn't have a lot of, like, market force. There's not a lot of, like, inertia behind it to, like, make it, ooh, it's awesome.
Right. So you think seeing that the Kin failed... We know other ones
the
are going to fail.
I mentioned Motoblur before, but while Motoblur is cool, it integrates everything into your phone. It's not the hottest item in the world. It's not selling like hotcakes or anything. I mean, it's probably selling.
I think a lot of the smartphone market too is business. The ability
it still is.
It's obviously growing and changing because there's a lot of revenue in like mobile games and different things, but I don't see, $500 million company springing for Facebook phones for all their employees. I do see them doing it with Blackberries, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any company springing for Facebook phones just because most companies see that as a time waster, you know?
Yeah.
Or any social network phone, Facebook or not.
I don't see how it works.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe we'll see the end of this year or sometime next year. You know, maybe we'll see another Nexus One. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows? So that was the last tech-related article, but there's one thing that I wanted to throw at you guys before we leave for the night, and that is television. So we just started into the new season of television with this week and last week, actually. Mm-hmm. So what are you guys watching? What are the shows that you are most excited for?
One of my big favorites is Mad Men, which has already been going on for a couple weeks now because it's sort of outside of the whole like primetime schedule,
right?
You know, mainstream network. But I like Mad Men. I like Big Bang Theory a lot, and How I Met Your Mother on CBS.
Are there any brand new shows this season that you want to get into?
I checked out The Event last night. I watched the.
Don't tell me what happened last night. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I won't. I watched the pilot, and then the next episode that was like brand new last night.
Right.
It's interesting. I don't, I'll probably give it a try, but.
So that's the only really new one?
As far as new ones go, yeah, I think that's really only a big
Adam,
one.
Adam, anything?
Watch Fringe, Sons of Anarchy.
I love Fringe.
Fringe is good.
It's a good show.
This week's was kind of disappointing.
I didn't watch either of them yet.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah.
I won't tell you anything.
Yeah, I'm a little behind. But, so new ones that I'm watching, Outsourced.
Oh, yeah. I saw the preview for that. I am interested in that, but I forgot to set it up.
The first one, it was all right. It made me laugh a little bit. I think it has potential.
I thought it had potential to be racist.
Oh, it really is. I mean, they're not trying to be, but it is. I mean,
yeah.
If you're Indian and you watch the show, you're probably going to be really mad.
Yeah.
But it's funny. And let's see. Chuck, of course.
Yeah, Chuck's awesome.
I love Chuck.
Did it come back?
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
So those are new episodes I haven't been DVR'ing.
Last week.
Oh, crap. I got to pay for Hulu Plus now.
Oh, no. Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus would be worth it if they expanded their catalog. Like, yeah. The only thing you get with the Plus and paying money is back issues or back episodes.
Back, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get more shows. Right. It's the same shows, just more episodes of it.
The one show that I'm really into is Community. I think
Community, I love Community.
I think Community might be the most like innovative comedy on TV right now. Like, I think Big Bang Theory is very funny, but it's just nerd humor where. Community is like everything humor.
I don't know.
And it's all different.
Big Bang Theory is like the highest rated show of all time ever.
Ever?
There was some stat that came out that put Big Bang Theory like above Seinfeld and above every other comedy that everybody loves. Like it's number one syndication. Number one amount of money or something that they're making from syndication. Like they are top dog. Big Bang Theory.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So I think the event, I think outsourced. I don't know of any other brand new shows. I mean, there are a couple. There's some Law ones.
The Chase looked interesting.
The Chase, I need to watch that.
Oh, and Hawaii Five-0 is kind of cool.
I haven't seen that yet. It's DVR'd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't... Do they still say Book'em Dano?
Yes.
Yeah, he did say that. All right. I caught that part.
So that's what I need to watch it for.
Yeah.
All right, so any other things that you guys wanted to bring up? Anything you see in the news?
Well, how about the playbook? Anybody seen the playbook? The playbook. The RIM tablet, the playbook.
I didn't even hear about this.
You haven't heard of this?
Yeah. No.
Oh, so
please tell us.
RIM announced at their developer conference or whatever they call it, is their new 7-inch tablet called the Playbook. Their CEO, I can't remember his name right now, but he's calling it like the first professional tablet.
Mike Lazaridis?
Yeah, Lazaridis. He's calling it the first professional grade tablet. So.
That's what BlackBerry says with all their stuff.
Well,
like, you got the iPhone, but our phone has been professional for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in some ways it is. They were, you know, they're way ahead of Apple in security and like enterprise management, I think.
So I just brought it up. Gonna be honest, looks exactly like an iPad. Same size screen, gigahertz CPU.
It's smaller. It's a 7-inch. It's got different resolution. It has very similar sats to the Samsung. There's a Samsung one that's coming out. It's the same 7-inch 1040 by 960.
1024 by 600?
Yeah, or something like that.
That's what the BlackBerry one is.
Yeah.
Or RIM, sorry.
A strange resolution there. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, it has cameras, which the iPad doesn't.
Two.
Yeah. So,
two of them.
Like, I know a few people that are not tech people, my girlfriend included. The one thing they said they would buy an iPad if it had it is if it had a camera to do Skype. I think that was a big oversight.
I think that's next version. Like, has to be.
It might be, but I think that what they're running the risk is they might get leapfrogged. You know, if people see it somewhere else. I still don't think the problem with BlackBerry and really any other company that comes out with a tablet is they don't have the public's eye right now, in the sense that if they come out with a killer product, that they'll sell like hotcakes. Like, Apple's a PR media machine.
Yeah, they have the people there at midnight waiting in line for the store to open.
Yeah.
Right.
How does RIM do that?
Well, plus they have the news media on their side and everything else. You know, it's like there's so much more coverage of Apple stuff in the news media that if they do something and the news media people like it, it just spreads like wildfire. And then they already have this kind of like hip, sort of, we're a hip company, and so buy our products. Where RIM, even if RIM hit one out of the park, they just don't have the public. You know, they're not in the public mind.
Yeah,
it would be a slow build for them.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a slow build.
Yeah, they would really have to hit one out of the park,
right,
to even have a slow build.
I want to try this thing out because I'm really impressed with the new BlackBerry Torch. I think they did a much better job with their touchscreen in this rev. And the BlackBerry OS 6 looks a lot better. So I'm hoping that the stuff that we're seeing in the BlackBerry OS 6 might be in their new Playbook OS. And
yeah, I'm actually looking for a tablet. Like, I do photography on the side, and my portfolio now is on my iPhone, which is great. The iPhone's good for showing pictures, you know, flip through it, but it's small.
Yeah,
I want a tablet. I would have bought an iPad, but the cheapest one is $500. I'm not buying a $500 photo viewer.
Yeah.
So if this thing comes out...
Even though, like, 10 years ago, a 2-inch photo viewer cost that much.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah, so if the Playbook comes out and is, you know, $200, $300, or if Samsung comes out with one, or somebody else comes out with a 7-inch tablet or something that works as well as the iPad, because that's another thing. I'm not buying a tablet that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's cheap. But this actually looks good from the pictures that I see on Engadget site.
Yeah. They really touted the HTML5 compatibility and Flash, which is another plus.
Which means you can call from Gmail.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and
free calling.
You know, most of BlackBerry stuff's written in Java, so they're using a lot of open standards. I'm not a big Java fan myself.
I hate Java.
But it, you know, like, I don't choose to program in it, but it's open. So in the sense that, you know, you can program for it.
Right. Yeah, Wi-Fi, A, B, G, and N.
Yeah.
HDMI out.
Their promise. Yeah, all standard connectors. That's the other thing. USB, HDMI, and there was one other connector.
It's probably an HDMI mini port, right?
Yeah, mini.
They probably don't have the big one.
But, you know.
Either way, whatever. Yeah.
On the iPad, you got one connector, that damn dock thing.
Right.
It's like, what is that?
Yeah, I'm not faulting them for the mini. I'm just saying.
You know,
it's...
just a little side rant. I would be happy with the iPod dock connector if they didn't keep obsoleting.
Is that a word?
They fall into obsolescence.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like their older products don't work, or their newer products don't work with their older dock connectors.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, how they change the power and how they do everything.
It's like, if you're going to make a connector like that, you better think through it if you're going to use it for the rest of...
Well, they do think through it. With every new product, you have to buy the new one.
Yeah, they think that you're going to buy a new one.
They think with their wallet.
But it's just, I mean, at least this thing, if you want to connect it, you know, DVI, I'm guessing you could probably drive a 50-inch display right from that tablet. So you can take your photos over to your friend's house, plug it in, and bam, slideshow on your 50-inch display.
Oh, I'm sure that's what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah, you can't do that on an iPad.
Yeah.
You sure as hell can't.
Yeah, so what about you, Adam? Anything new that you're looking forward to? Anything gaming?
Yeah, I would talk a little bit about Kinect, I guess. Did you guys talk about it a couple weeks ago?
We mentioned it back when it was Natal and they changed the name to Kinect. Yeah. But neither of us are really Xbox players, so I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm not really a fan of the whole motion gaming, per se. I'm sort of more with, like, virtual reality.
Okay.
Kind of like, did you ever see Hackers?
Yes.
How the guy's in the virtual reality tube, you know? But I can see, I guess I see where Microsoft and Sony are going with their market for this, but I just don't see them making a dent with the whole Nintendo has.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, Nintendo came out, they hit it out of the park, you know, only platform to do this. And then these guys come in 3 years late and do it.
With overpriced hardware.
Right.
Well, that said, I think that Natal / Kinect, or whatever it's called now, it is a way bigger advance over top of the Wii controller interface.
Oh, yeah. There's no from a technology standpoint, it's really cool that, you know, that they can mimic body movement and stuff like that. But the practical use for, you know, gamers, because hardcore gamers aren't going to want to stand and point with their finger, and casual gamers aren't going to want to pay $150 more for it, plus the price of games.
Yeah, don't you have to buy like an extra camera or something to do the body movement detection, or isn't that something that Kinect does?
No, I think that comes with the Move for PlayStation.
Oh, the PlayStation, okay.
Yeah, you have to have the eye.
Yeah.
Detect the wavy ball.
I know what you mean about having like tactile feel when you're playing, but I think I mentioned this before when we talked. It's basically like, if you need like a steering wheel input, you could use whatever steering wheel you wanted. Like, you could buy something that gives you the force feedback.
Oh, so we did talk about this before. You could use a dish plate.
Yeah.
And that could be your steering wheel.
Oh, there's your steering wheel. Like, I know that's maybe a little bit, it's not fully fulfilling like the whole feedback aspect of like having buttons you're pressing and stuff like that. But I really think that Natal and the way that interface works is the future of how humans will interact with computers.
Okay, so hold on 1 second, because I don't know. Is this still the case, Adam, that with Kinect you can use not controllers to play a game? Or do you still have to use a controller?
No, you don't need
a controller. So it's just you as a person and whatever you choose to hold.
If you would like it to be, yes.
Okay. That's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not really a hardcore gamer, but I know that if I'm playing a shooting game, I don't want to have my arms up in the air for 3 hours of playing a game.
Yeah.
That's going to suck.
Yeah, well, we sort of go by the philosophy, you know, we're gaming to relax. You know, we don't want to be wailing around like a chicken.
You don't want to break a sweat.
Yeah, no. If I want to break a sweat, I'll go back to the gym.
Right. Well, you're right about that, but if the technology gets good enough, you could just hold a controller and map certain movements to the way you want to play the game.
Yeah. There are hurdles to get to that, though, like input lag and different things, because it's not true 100% precise yet. And that actually, Sony just argued that you can't do that because it's over-precise and people can't control it.
So, over-precise.
So like, trying to map one-to-one is over-precise?
It creates a bad gaming experience to be 100% exact with motion movements.
Interesting.
Hmm.
There has to be some sort of interpolation between to...
Yeah. Well, as the processing speeds, I think in terms of the lag, the input lag, it's reading a light. It's using light because it's a camera or an infrared sensor. So it's that part of it, to get your motion into the sensor is nearly instant. Okay, it's faster than definitely faster than controller. But then it's processing of it.
Yeah,
what will generate
it's in
lag.
The frame loop is where it's lagging.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know, maybe in the future they'll get those algorithms down. I just think maybe from gaming aspect it's not going to be the future, but I think for input into a PC, like that's the other thing that I can't stand about touchscreen phones. You're constantly putting grease all over the screen from your skin.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, or oil. It's like, why do I have to touch the thing? Why can't it just sense what I'm doing? You know, I mean, maybe that'll be a...
Why can't it be a Minority Report?
Exactly. That's what I think about.
That's what we need.
It may get there eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I have a Wii, so I've used motion gaming a little bit, but I don't have the Wii HD motion.
The true one-to-one.
Yeah, the true one-to-one. So, I mean, that's probably more like what Kinect is or what PlayStation Move is. So I really don't know what these newer motion games are like to say anything.
It's fun, but it's a niche.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know for the price that if it's...
Yeah, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
And I mean, if, like you said, Nintendo already has that market.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to go buy a PlayStation or an Xbox to do motion gaming? You know, because they probably already have a Wii.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll see in a year. We'll see at Christmas time. We'll see what sells at Christmas time.
Yeah, that'll be the true test.
Are all three out now that you can buy?
Yep.
Okay. So Christmas it is.
I believe. Unless the Kinect isn't, but I know the Move is for sure.
Okay. That's interesting. Are you going to buy a Move, Ryan?
I'm not a gamer. I haven't been for a long time. I mean, I like certain things. I'll still fire up, like, you know, Pac-Man every once in a while.
Nice.
I'll still play Super Mario Brothers every once in a while.
No, seriously. You're right. The classics I'm into once in a while. But
yeah. So I didn't remember or ask Adam, do you own Kinect now, or have you just played it other places?
I've just been around demos and different.
Okay. Are you going to buy it?
No. No. No, I'm more of a PC gamer myself. My sole reason for having an Xbox would be for X&A, indie game development.
Okay. That's interesting. We'll have to talk about that another time.
Yeah.
That's a whole discussion in itself. All right. So that is it for this week's Slongcast. As usual, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. My username is Slongcack. You can find Ryan on Facebook and Twitter. His username is Ryan Lancey. And Adam, if people want to get in contact with you and talk to you, how do they do that?
They can hit up my blog at adamaltimus.com.
Adamaltimus.com. You heard it here, folks. So if you want us to go over an article for next week's Slongcast, just tag it on Delicious, Slongcast016. Next week will be episode 16. And I hope you guys have a wonderful Tuesday evening.